This is the time of year we need to carefully consider our calling. That's true. But you know, I can't help but wonder a little bit. For some reason I can't explain, I do feel just a little bit off center. But I guess maybe I'll overcome that as we move forward. But brethren, you know, there is something in the everyday Christian life that we can't live without. It's invaluable, indispensable. With it, our lives are enhanced beyond measure, no matter our station in life. Without it, eternal death is the outcome. That commodity I'm speaking of is prayer. Prayer is the lifeline for every Christian, every follower of Jesus Christ. It is our connection to God. It's been often said that God speaks to us through His Word, and we in turn speak to Him through prayer, and this is very true. Prayer is the means through which we seek and obtain forgiveness, help, and mercy. It is the means by which we begin, maintain, develop, and strengthen our relationship with our Father in heaven and our High Priest, Jesus Christ. Prayer is the vital link between this mortal human dust and the throne of God. The title for today is The Scriptures, Prayer, and the Passover. This time of year, we find ourselves, as we approach the Passover, we find ourselves carefully considering our relationship with God. These scriptures do admonish us to carefully examine ourselves in order that we may correctly participate in the Passover service. Although this is an instruction that can apply any time of year, we do have a special command to go through this before the Passover. There is an expectation that as Passover comes, this self-examination should have already taken place. That's something I'm sure we'll hear more about as time goes on. We are instructed by Paul that we should judge ourselves so that we will not undergo judgment of God. Not only our participation in the Passover, but our approach to the Passover is vital. If you would please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This is a scripture we most of us know very well, beginning in verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened, that is, corrected by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. And that is the operative statement in this scripture, that we may not be condemned with the world. This passage tells us several things. First, this walk that we are called to is a self-correcting lifestyle. God expects that we not only have the capacity to sincerely judge, but the strength and character to make the corrections that we have found that need to be made. We as mere mortals are not very well equipped by ourselves to go through this. Jesus Christ promised that we would not be left as orphans, John 14 and verse 18. But He, through the power of God's Holy Spirit, would come to us, which He does. And we in faith must go to Him in prayer. God reveals that there are some prayers that He will hear and some others He definitely will not. Certain conditions are required for prayer. But we don't have the time to go into that today, but we will touch on a couple of items. We already know that the mind of God is perfect and without fault. We also know that He is steadfast and faithful. God never changes. We should be thankful for that. He's not like a man. In Isaiah 59, God says His hand is not shortened and His ear isn't heavy or dull so that He can't hear. But we separate ourselves from Him. So if there is a problem with prayer, it's on this end. Always. The first condition that is required is sincerity, with an attitude of submission to God and a willingness to be corrected. If you would please turn to Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. The prophet Daniel set the standard for a lot of things. Daniel's praised even by the other prophets for his wisdom and his righteousness. But even Daniel was human. Here we find Daniel visited by an angel. We'll begin in verse 10. Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. I think any one of us would. I've never seen an angel. Daniel did. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard. And I have come because of your words. So this angel was sent as an answer to a prayer. You talk about a dramatic answer to prayer. You've got it right here. You would please now, Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah 66, beginning in verse 1. God says here, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? Where is the place of my rest? All these things my hand has made, all these things exist, says the Lord. God is not impressed with physical things. But on this one will I look, on him or her who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. So what kind of value do we place on these scriptures? Do we, as in Isaiah, tremble at God's word? These holy scriptures to reveal to us the mind and heart of God, and the mind and heart of Jesus Christ. Does that stir us to that point where we stand in awe of God? Food for thought. There are only two spirits that inhabit this world. One is the spirit of darkness and wickedness, the spirit of this world and the things of this world. The other is the Holy Spirit of God. Which one do we respond to? Which one has presence in our minds? We get right down to it. That's what this self-examination is all about. What occupies our minds and our hearts? Is it the things of God or something else? Prayer, along with Bible study and fasting, are indispensable tools for this time of preparation. I would, if I may, like to offer you three ideas we might want to consider as these weeks go by and we prepare for the Passover. The first is this. If we as individuals are stirred or moved to be closer to God that is not of this earth, this comes directly from God Himself. As humans living in a physical world dominated by Satan the devil, his many distractions, his many obstacles, his many roadblocks. It's difficult sometimes to actually come to this realization, but it's true. If a person is moved to become closer to God, that is not of this earth. Second, Hebrews 4 tells us that God's word is a two-edged sword that discerns the thoughts and intentions of the heart. It was purposely designed to do that. It's supposed to have that effect on us. This should be our starting point by humbly asking God in prayer to reveal to us the things in our lives that need to be changed, the path that we need to walk, and provide us with the faith and the strength to do it. And third, the stamp of a mind moved and inspired by God will always seek God's will and seek to do God's will. This is the point that we need to arrive at. If you would please turn to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. We'll begin here in verse 13. This is Peter relaying to his brethren in Jerusalem the conversion of Cornelius and his family. In verse 13, we find this. And he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house, who said to him, "Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved." As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, as upon us at the beginning. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, "John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit." If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they became silent, and they glorified God, saying, "Then God also granted to the Gentiles repentance unto life." Brethren, these Gentiles could never have repentance until God sent it. Neither do we. If we are moved to become closer to God, that comes from him. It's important to realize that any form of repentance or spiritual renewal comes from God. It is he that grants or gives repentance. It's he that renews. We can never find it on our own. This period of self-examination should be viewed not just as an obligation, which it is, but as a great gift from the hand of God himself. With this, we have the opportunity to ask him, as David did, to search us out, examine our hearts, our minds, our deepest thoughts and motives, as in Psalm 139. Human nature loves to sit in judgment, except on itself. But judgment, brethren, is most effective if it's turned inward. There are a few things on this planet, as far as I'm concerned, that are as exhilarating as having gone through this period and through the Passover to be spiritually strengthened and recharged yet once again. We can use these great gifts to become closer to God, as Daniel did through earnest prayer. Actually reach the throne of God itself. The visit from an angel? Maybe. I've never seen an angel like Daniel has, but I can promise you this, if I had, I probably wouldn't behave as well as he did. But I've seen them work. I have seen them work. I know they're here. I've been a witness to some of the things they do. There's every likelihood they're right here with us, even though we can't see them. God loves his people. He sent his only son to die for them. He sent his spirit to them, through which they can, by faith, walk into the kingdom of God. We can take this opportunity and use these tools God has given us to draw closer to him. We probably won't see an angel, as Daniel did, but the outcome of this endeavor for us can be just as powerful and dramatic. But how? One of the most inspiring parts of the Bible is the book of Job. As we all know, Job was brought through some serious trials. I, for one, find it miraculous that he even lived through it. But in the end, things were different for Job. Job is praised in the beginning as being upright. But even he needed to change his perspective on a few things, just a little bit. When it was all said and done, Job had something very remarkable to say. Not turning there, but you'll find this in Job chapter 42 and verse 5. And this is what he said to God. "I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you." Seeing an angel would be a great and wonderful thing, but it is much more important to see God, just as Job did. This is the point that both Daniel and Job had to come to. This is the place that we must come to. Through prayer, through the scriptures, where we can actually see the mind and heart of God. So as we come to this Passover, let us in humility and in fervent prayer draw closer to God, that we may declare, as did Jesus Christ in Luke 22, "Not my will be done, but your will be done."